Welcome back to another episode of Geeky Sexual and Intellectual. I am your host, Q, and I'm glad you made it back. Today's guest is Mr. Crazy 8 the Great. He is an awesome nerdcore rapper that he and I met on Instagram, I want to say about a year or two ago. This dude introduced me to nerd rapping. If you don't know what that is, give the podcast a listen and you may be enlightened like I was, and I haven't looked back since. Also, I say in this podcast that this is our season finale. That is not true. Well, it was true, but this brother had an album that's dropping today, August 8th. So we wanted to make some scheduling changes so I moved some stuff around so it would drop today. He was going to be the season closer, but no, we had to promote that album for Big Brother. All right, so give Crazy 8 the Great a listen, and then you can start giving all your money to him. All right, here we go.
Our host Q, and today's guest is the magical, worth Crazy 8 the Great, also El Mercado. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, mama. I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. I've been trying to do this for a minute, but I know you had, you know, things. You had a timeline. I had to fit within the timeline.
Yeah, it was weird trying to figure that out, man. But I'm glad we're here. I'm glad.
Yeah, man. So it was well worth the wait. So I always do a mental check-in with everybody with these times that we're going through. So how are you doing in this corona climate we're living in?
I'm surviving. Yeah. The best way I can. I haven't turned into a cave person. I haven't murdered anybody. I've been doing pretty good, if I must say so myself.
That's good. So I'm gonna ask you also: were you made for this life? You know, being nerds, it's kind of hand in hand. Like, you can't be social and play video games.
Yeah, like I didn't really miss a beat all like that.
Yeah, man. So I'm just like, that's what I've been telling a lot of my friends. They're just like, how you doing? I'm going crazy. I'm ready to go get my nails done, my hair did. I'm like, bitch, Amazon ain't stopped production. I just keep my nails clean. I'm good.
Exactly. Yeah, the whole time I've been working on one project for so long. That does become a part of my life in that regard. So when this happened, I was like, oh, so now I really, all I got to do is just focus on this and nothing else? All right, cool. We good.
Yeah, so keep on with the world.
Exactly.
Well, for all of you that don't know who Crazy 8 the Great is, he is basically the first nerdcore lyricist I ever heard of or met, and met loose term. We instantly.
So, family.
Yes. So I was like, oh my God, like you had twisted me inside out. I was like, I didn't even know this was a thing. So basically what I want to go back is to the roots of things. I want you to tell me about who you are then and how that has played into who you are today.
Okay. Well, damn. where do I start? Because, I mean, starting out, like, I think I want to say I started rapping in, like, 2003.
Okay.
And back then, you was just rapping to be rapping. Like, it didn't have a term or whatever the case may be. So, of course, I went through my emotions of rapping what I thought other people wanted to hear from me. Of course, I was around a lot of guys that were into some questionable things or whatever. So, you know, trying to fit in with that, as far as rap is concerned, on the hustle and this, this, and that, or whatever. It just never really sunk in, like, you know what I'm saying? So me trying to get my footing and just rap in general, and trying to find my place over time, it's like I throw in some referencing here to Pokemon or Dragon Ball or Batman or something like that or whatever. And then in my career, as you know, everybody, rapper's supposed to be the best dressed, all this jewelry, all this other stuff or whatever. I'm showing up to functions and Power Ranger t-shirts.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying? So my t-shirt collection got more notoriety than I did at a point in time. So they started calling me T-shirt King here in Cleveland. and then, I don't know, like, I started adding more references to the bars or whatever. And I was doing it in ways I guess people had never heard before or whatever. And I just committed to that. So in 2011, I decided to never rap about shit that had nothing to do with me ever again. And I started embracing my the anti-bullying campaign aspect of things. So I started something called The Most Popular Lane. Which is what my smiley face symbol represents. It's two faces put together. I came up with it back when Blackberries was hot. I put two emojis together because they just, it described who I was at the time. So you got the nerd side and the cool side. But if you put them together, that's me, that line. I tote that line because I was known as a lame or uncool in school or whatever, but everybody knew me for it. So by definition, that's popularity if everybody knows you for a thing.
Exactly.
So I was the most popular lame, and that's how that came together. And I decided to turn it into like a symbol for the uncool, or the people that didn't have a voice, or people that was getting bullied, or the outcast and things like that. People who didn't really fit in one particular box. That's what I was doing it for. And of course, like in my lifetime, I had two near-death experiences with bullying. So surviving that made me want to just be the champion for people like me. And then that's when I started taking on the superhero persona and then really started committing to that, to the bars. And then I want to say a couple years after that, like 2015, I decided I wanted to wear a cape on stage.
Okay.
I wanted to really, you know, bring the superhero to life in front of people. And I mean, I got heckled bad. When I say bad, I mean, like, I stepped on stage before music starts. It was like, boo!
Yeah.
This nigga corny. Get him the fuck off the stage. Like, jeez.
Because it's not what they used to.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So then the music plays, and like, I'm a performer through and through. Like, I live for the stage. I'm super theatrical. I can act out the bars in ways that'll make you feel a way. I know how to do certain things when it comes to stage. So by the time I get done with my set, them same people that was heckling me is like, yo, I thought you was gonna be whack, but you raw, bro. Like, that's crazy. Or my girl was dancing to one of your songs, and I just was like, oh, shit, like, this nerdy nigga got something going. Like, you know
what
I mean? So that was kind of like my rise to power here in Ohio, and I started winning awards for lyricism and performances. I think I got, like, what, 6 or 7 awards between various award shows here in the state.
Okay.
I performed everywhere except for the House of Blues. So I even got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame under my belt. Jack Daniels had a freestyle competition. They brought the
team. I remember that.
I won that first place. I did that whole competition in my cape. People was laughing and shit until I was like destroying MCs on stage.
And, yeah, because it ain't really about the packaging. We all fooled about the packaging. It's the content. Right. Like, you gotta respect the content. Yeah.
So it was like, I'm the only dude up there with these nerdy bars, though, but I'm serving all the other rappers and shit. So I just made a name to their point. Now, if you see me in the street here, like in Ohio, where people be like, where the cape at? I'm looking for it now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I made it a thing. I made it a staple. So that's kind of been my journey until recently, meeting you back in like 2018 when Ultra Instinct dropped. Super was getting ready to end. Like, I didn't think we were going to get any more Dragon Ball after that. So I had no idea Dragon Ball Super Broly movie was going to happen at all. So I wanted to put this song out because I'm like, well, shit, as a fan, I want the other fans to not have some Dragon Ball, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I put the song out, and shit, with your help and a couple other people, man, like, it took off.
Yeah, because I was like, what the fuck is this shit? This is run that shit back again. I was like, oh, this is so fucking fire. I have not heard any shit like that. That's why I said you exposed me. Like, I feel like I was scalped. I was like, where is this shit been? And why niggas ain't doing this on a regular? And, you know, I'm just not out there. Niggas are doing that on a regular. But right. I was like, you introduced me.
Yeah, man. Like, I'm glad, too, to be your gateway into it. Because it does exist in so many different forms and fashions. I just feel like there's even a separation to what nerdcore hip-hop is and to what we kind of do. So, like, I just go ahead and I'm going to just call it blurred-core hip-hop now.
Yeah.
Because it's made by us for us for that, you know what I'm saying, in that regard. Because I've done nerdcore shows with people like MC Chris and Schaefer the Dark Lord, a couple other people, you know what I'm saying, like I said, of different races or whatever. And I was too hip-hop for them.
Okay.
Like, it was like, these guys rap, but you can tell, like, these are my roots. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, these guys is rapping about their cats and and different shit like that. And I got, like, bars, like, for them or whatever in the crowd. Like, oh, yeah, he's cool. But they want this, like geeky, like, really geeky shit, like, over here.
Yeah.
But then if I do a regular hip-hop show, I'm too nerdy. So yeah. I didn't really fit. Even if I felt like I found my crowd with the nerdcore hip-hop, I still wasn't necessarily fitting in until I discovered the blurred community. Mm-hmm. And I can really be myself. I ain't gotta censor the N-word if I want to. I ain't gotta, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm not using it in
derogatory
sense. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? We reclaimed that a while ago. But yeah, it's been interesting. It's been
that really, is interesting. Really interesting. Cause you know, that's our life, being black nerds. It's been like that all our lives, liking shit and got to hide it from the black people. And anybody else, you're like, well, I don't want to tell them about my nerdhood because it's already been not favorable. So I'm going to keep that shit to myself. Like, we were always in the closet with this shit.
Exactly. But
we're in a new era, so we ain't got to hide this shit no more. Geeks is ruling the land.
Right. I've been living out loud for a while.
Yeah. Like, I'm geeking, I'm proud. Like, it's a whole different revolution, like the gay pride movement. Yeah,
exactly. And at the end of the day, ain't none of these cats gonna out rap me. So,
oh no, sir,
just don't do it, don't even do it.
But I want to step back a piece because you were talking about your logo. The first time I saw it, the first thing that popped into my head, I don't know if you know this comic book, but Evil Ernie, do you remember that?
No, I'm not.
I think it was a Dark Horse or something like that. So basically, it was like a rock and roll version of Knight Rider. I mean, not Knight Rider. The dude with the flames.
Oh, Ghost Rider.
Yeah. I'm like, why is Knight Rider on my head? Yeah. So he had a pin. He had a little smiley face pin that was like his conscience.
Okay. That's dope. I gotta check that out
though. Yeah, man. So it's all in with like Lady Death and shit like that. Okay. But that was the first thing popped into my head when I said, "This shit is fire." But. But going back to like childhood roots and things, did any of your childhood influences or interests influence what you do and who you are today? And if so, what were those?
Yeah, well, to be honest, like I said, I've been watching Dragon Ball since I was like 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a fan of Eminem since I was 8.
Yeah.
So even though, you know, no kid should be listening to Eminem at 8 years old. It had the most influence, though, because I was being bullied. I had parent problems. I was super angry. So you had this guy. I didn't really even see color at this point. It wasn't about him being a white guy. It was just there's a guy rapping really angrily about a lot of shit that I wish I could say out loud. Like, you know what I'm saying? And over time, I was an honors writer in school anyway. I was always a bit ahead of my classes, thanks to my grandmother. And I just started penning rhymes, like, or whatever, to make me feel better. Like, well, shit, if M is doing this, I'm going to do it, too. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it kind of happened that way. And then, like, of course, I've been rocking with Batman since I took my first breath. you know what I'm saying? Like, I got Batman tatted on my arm. Because, you know, Keaton's Batman came out the year I was born, so 89. My mom had had that lined up. You know what I'm saying? So those things have been around, and it's funny how that's kind of coming full circle now that I'm a hip hop artist in the form of a superhero, because when I was growing up, I had these rhymes and I had Batman to like lean on all the time. And of course, I discovered Spider-Man over time and stuff like that or whatever. And just the different aspects of what these guys stood for and the tragedy behind a lot of their origin stories was kind of so relatable to me, to where it's like, damn, yeah, I was always going to be what I am today because of those things. So just a lot of TV, a lot of movies, a lot of comics, a lot of video games, a lot of Eminem. that gives you who Crazy 8 is over time. Like, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, man. And when you say Eminem, what's funny to me, I was in college when Eminem came out. And so one of my dudes, he was like a severe hip hop head. He was like, dude, I want you to listen to this. It was like a little mixtape. I was like, what is this shit? So I listened to it. I was like, oh, this motherfucker is cold. Forever. Didn't even know he was a white dude. That's why I say packaging doesn't matter.
It don't.
I knew about him for like a year before he hit the scene. I was like, oh, this nigga's cold. This nigga's cold. Like, no, that is a white boy.
Right.
I was like, I don't care. He can still get it. But yeah. Funny. But besides Eminem, what are some musical artists that have influenced your style of rhyming?
I want to say Lupe Fiasco. Mm-hmm. I got to mention Kid Cudi, another Cleveland native. He was kind of like the first person I saw be successful for being the weirdest natural person he could be. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh shit, so I really don't got to be tough when I do this real shit? Like, and people will still buy into who you are? Okay. And then, of course, Lupe was one of the first MCs I ever heard rapping about manga and playing Street Fighter and just nerdy little shit that, you know, I knew growing up. Who else? I could say I listened to a lot of Jay-Z because of my cousins. And I kind of draw the line there because those are my biggest, like, influences when it came to, like, how I rhyme and how I put myself out there on the forefront. I listen to a ton of hip hop and a ton of different artists, but those are the ones that I would say had a hand in molding how I write and what I do because of the examples they set before me.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. When did you truly start immersing yourself into becoming the lyricist that you are today? Because, you know, sometimes we dabble at something like, oh, that'd be fun. But like, when did you actually put your foot to the curbs, like, I'm finna do this shit for it?
Probably 2006. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with Machine Gun Kelly.
Say that again. Machine Gun Kelly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So another Cleveland native, but we actually came up together. So I watched MGK become who he is now or whatever. But we all used to record at the same studio with one of my brothers, Styles. And then, like, in 2006, becoming into like the Cleveland hip hop scene, I knew that you could do this for real, and things kind of happened. Because, I mean, of course, Bone Thugs and Harmony was like our biggest at the time before MGK kind of blew and popped. So you didn't really see people who rapped or did rap, or you didn't even know it was a scene. So by the time I was meeting MGK and a couple of other people, I was like, oh shit, you could really, like, really do this. And they got award shows for it, and they got events, and people are doing these showcases all over the city. I got to be a part of that. So 2006, I decided, like, okay, this is what I want to do for a living.
Okay.
And it's possible. You know what I'm saying? It's possible. Like, it's not just a pipe dream. It's actually possible. So I want to say about 2006, I decided. Cause like I said, I've been rapping since 2003, and that's probably when it was like a hobby. Got into my first rap group on accident, actually.
How you get into a rap group on accident?
Because, like, I had this hustle where I was typing up people's reports and shit in school for money so I could go buy, like, Eminem CDs and shit. Yeah. And one of the guys who I did his report, he came by to pick it up, and I was playing, like, Halo 2 at the time. So I was, like, whooping his ass in Halo 2. And he, like, Xbox had the capability to download music into it or whatever. So I had these instrumentals on there. He saw them and was like, yo, let's freestyle. I was like, okay. And so we start rapping and shit, and he like, yo, you rap better than me. And I was like, man, stop playing. Like, he's like, no, I'm serious. Like, yo, I got this group. You want to be a part of my group? I ain't had no friends at the time. Sure.
Yeah.
Let's do that. And then before you know it, I'm a fucking rapper.
Ow, hell. People wish it would have been that easy for them.
Like, that's really how I have it, though. It's like, I wanted to draw cartoons. Like, my goal for my life was to be one of the people to ink something on Dragon Ball working for Funimation. Like, that was what I thought I would do with my life.
Because I'm in the home of Funimation. I'm in Texas.
Like, exactly. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, yo, that's what I want to do. Like, this is my favorite anime. Like, all I want to do is just work for the people that put Dragon Ball together. And ended up being a fucking rapper. Yeah.
Hey, they have collided, sir. They have collided.
They have.
Okay, so You've explained to me your nerddom, but explain to me what made you become specifically a nerdcore lyricist. Because I heard, what is it? I haven't heard any rhythmic storytelling like yours. So I'm just like, what is your process?
Well, shit. I always take it back to a personal experience. All my rhymes is based off personal experience. Okay. So the thing that I, because like I didn't even know I was considered nerdcore until maybe a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that, I was just always, like I said, I was always me and I was always trying to find ways to make being a nerd cool through rhyme. I just didn't know that there was a place for it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So when I'm writing rhymes now, because a lot of people do these things, what I call tribute raps, where they rap as if they're a character and they only speak from that perspective.
Yeah.
That's pretty popular amongst nerdcore artists. Where I'm unique in that regard is that I'm only always ever telling you about my life, and I just find parallels from stories from anime that actually fit it perfectly. Like, for example, when I was 4 years old, my grandfather passed, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at Dragon Ball, Goku had to be about five-six or whatever when his grandfather passed. It's just like, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I could always pull from a reference that's parallel to the almost exact specific detail to where you think I'm talking about Goku, but I'm actually really just talking about me. And I feel like that's where I'm unique, and that's how I build my stories. I always try to find a parallel to an anime or a movie or a comic book reference that really fits what was going on in my life during the time of me trying to tell that story. So I feel like that's what kind of sets me apart from other nerdcore artists at this point, because I don't really just do it just for that character. I'm doing it because that character is just like me.
Yeah.
If you have a borderline obsessive love for anime, crave custom drip, and you love sneakers, I have the place for you. Gear Anime has all the anime drip you need to feed your addiction. Try out the Naruto Kakashi Thunder Skill anime sneakers or the Itachi Akutsuki Symbol anime sneakers. I'm not gonna lie, I've never been a huge sneakerhead, but when I found Gear Anime's Instagram page, I knew I had a new addiction growing inside of me for these amazing custom-made anime-inspired shoes. You like all the new anime shows like Demon Slayer or My Hero Academia? They got a shoe for that. You like the old-school anime like Hunter x Hunter, Dragon Ball Z, Sailor Moon? They got a shoe for that. And the list goes on and on. All of Gear Anime's J1-style sneakers are custom-made to order and handcrafted to the highest quality standards. High quality rubber sole for traction and exceptional durability. Lace up front closure for snug fit. And they are made of microfiber leather, chemical and abrasion resistant, anti-crease, aging resistance. And Gear Anime also carries apparel. To get 15% off your purchase, use my code, which is Sugoi Gadget, spelled SUGOIGADGET. One use per person at www.gearanime.com. Spread the word and share the love.
And speak to Dragon Ball Z, I have a theory that I feel that Black people are so connected to Dragon Ball Z, because like you said, it's so many aspects of this show that you can relate back to your life in Black culture.
Right.
Like Goku, everybody had a dad. Well, I'm gonna speak on my dad. I ain't gonna say everybody. My daddy was a joyful, beautiful man, but he was shit. And that's Goku. Like, you accidental motherfucker. And but when we in each other's gauge, oh, I'm everything. But when you out, I'm not even a thought in your head. I'm like, but then you got to have a Piccolo. I had a Piccolo that came in and swooped in and took care of us. Yeah. So yeah, I was like, that's why Black people, and see all the people at your shows, they didn't seen fucking Dragon Ball Z before when they was booing you, but they was so in the closet. They was like, yeah, no, boo this motherfucker. Like, they didn't watch Dragon Ball Z. Yeah. But somebody had to be the sacrifice, you know, the sacrificial lamb, and that was you.
Somebody. Somebody. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, that's kind of my process every time. I'm always trying to find, actually, my brain computes everything that I watch in a way, like, I couldn't even really describe how I come up with these, or the fact that I can like perfectly place a scenario when I'm thinking about my life to the point where it's like, did this thing just really say, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm just as shocked as you are sometimes. Yeah. Like, it's that wild sometimes. Like, I'll finish a verse and read it back and be like, oh shit, that's nice. That's crazy. That's really how that should be happening for real.
Yeah, man. But I want to get back. I mean, we're not getting back. We've been talking about. So what are your favorite cartoon characters and anime characters growing up? Aside from Dragon Ball Z. We know that shit.
Yeah, right. Let's see. Cartoon characters. Let's go there first. I was always a big fan of the Rugrats.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
I don't know, it's weird, right? So how do you feel about the art style of Thundercats being more anime than a cartoon?
Are you talking about the original?
Or the later version that was coming out? I want to say, what version came out on Toonami?
Which one? Because have they had two since the original? Oh, okay, I do remember the one you're talking about. It was more anime. Well, the first one was, you know, that was Japanese production, but
yeah.
I didn't really watch them a lot. I did like the style, but that last piece of garbage they created for the kids. I was like, that shit ain't for the kids. That shit is for no one. Take that out here.
Right, but let me see. Like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the original series.
Mm-hmm.
If they do another rendition and fuck them up, I'm gonna be mad. Because I've been sick and tired of any new turtles past the ones I grew up with.
Like, it looks more elementary every time they put it out. The style of art is like more and more elementary and like simplistic. I'm like, I don't like this shit. I like this first one.
Yeah. I like them being able to see a muscle on Michelangelo and shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because, you know, my nickname is Mikey, so like that was always my spirit turtle.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like my mom would always get me fucking Michelangelo pajamas and shit like that. Like Mikey was my dude because that's what they called me in the family or whatever. So, you know, I heavily resonated with that. What else, man? Of course, I came up with the animated Spider-Man series, the animated X-Men series. Mm-hmm. The Tick was something that was super funny. I used to fucking love The Tick, man.
Yeah, because I was trying to find somebody that had seen on MTV back in the day. This was in the 90s. It was called Liquid Television. Do you remember that?
Actually, I do.
Oh, see? I found somebody. I keep trying to tell people. They just, I remember that. I was like, it used to come on late night MTV. Yep. And they would just have little snippets of different artists and, you know, animation. Sometimes they introduce anime. I mean, yeah, because that's how I found Ninja Scroll. Okay. They did I was like, what the fuck is this? It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and they showed that scene with the bamboo fight.
Right.
And I was like, this motherfucker's blind. And he's fighting this dude. He's listening to the wind. And I said, oh, I got to find this shit. So when, when it ends and the credits roll, I was like, fuck it, Ninja Scroll, bam. Then my ass went to Blockbuster Video and found it. And I was hooked ever since.
Shout out to Blockbuster. I lived in there, man.
I lived in that motherfucker. That was my allowance. That's how I made my allowance. I got to rent VHS anime.
See, there we go. There we go.
I'm so happy we have that together because nobody knows what Liquid TV is.
And the reason why, like, thank God for my older cousin. My older cousin Dante is the reason why I know what hip hop is, why I know what that is. Like,
yeah.
used to dub shit on VHSs and shit. So a lot of that shit, like, I saw through dub VHSs.
Yeah.
It was, like, a horrible quality because he was bad at it. But he would get the good shit, but then, like, the tape would fizzle out or it'd do something weird. Yeah, like,
yeah.
Shout out to my cousin Dante, man. If I wouldn't be in a lot of places knowing about a lot of shit if it weren't for Big Cuz, man.
Thank you, Dante. I got somebody that can talk to me about Liquid Television.
Right.
So let me see. So currently, what are you watching in the anime realm? Like any of the new stuff? You float back to the old school because we got time.
Right. Well, I just started watching God of High School.
Ooh, yes.
Man, so I didn't know like it was just gonna be hands all through this. Like, but it's hands and man, wow. I was like, okay, and it's a Crunchyroll original. I was like, okay, Crunchyroll. Yes.
I'm proud of them for doing that, transitioning some of those stories over, because I hadn't read any webtoons for a minute.
Yeah, me neither.
But the first one I watched that they tried, I guess they was dabbling in it, was it Basilisk? It was basically about a vampire that had came back, and they did one episode, maybe one or two episodes, and then they just shelved it. And then now they're bringing out these webtoon originals. And I was like, oh.
Because Tower of God was disappointing.
I liked it.
Let me put it this way. Not disappointing. It was underwhelming.
Because I never read the book. Maybe that's...
Yeah, me neither. And so people, like, had hyped up Tower of God to me so crazy. So by the time I ended the first season, I was like, okay.
You know, right. You say God of High School. I'm like, oh, no. Tower of God is not on the same level.
No, not even to compare the two. But just because it was one of the... I guess I wasn't really hip to the whole webtoon like wave in general. So these were my only two introductions to anime from webtoons. So people had told me about Tower of God and had begged me to watch Tower of God. Begged me to watch Tower of God. And I ended up doing the free trial on HBO Max.
Okay.
And by the way, it's just about as glitchy as Funimation app. So if anybody's excited about HBO Max, give it a while before you do it. Because, But I seen Tower of God first season was there, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll finally check it out now since I got this free service. And, yeah. Like, the premise is dope. I love the premise of it. I'm just waiting on it to get as good as the people that's been begging me to watch it.
Yeah, it is it's kind of slow. But it's a lot of narrative, not a lot of action. Right. So maybe season two? I'm not sure.
I'm hoping so, because like I said, I'm underwhelmed. I was expecting it to be like God of High School.
Yeah, no, it ain't been shit like this show in a minute. I was sold in the first 5 minutes with the motherfuckers on the beach. Yeah. I don't wanna spoil, but that shit was fire. I was like, where the fuck the hand come from?
Man, I was like, whoa.
Yes, and that the intro is fire.
Yeah,
I'd be in the mirror dancing because I put it on my iPad getting ready to bust out my bath water, and I'm like, shit is fire. I feel like I'm in the club.
Yeah, no, man, it's really dope. And the fact that like we instantly got like three main characters,
yeah,
and it's not just centered around one, even though we could compare a certain person to Goku already.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't wait to see it develop and see what the characters is about, get some more backstory on them or whatever. That shit's been fire. So yeah, I've been watching that. I'm still with One Piece right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to catch up on that.
That was the cool thing about like when I put out Ultra Instinct, the day that I put it out, everybody at my job at US Bank had got laid off.
Oh.
So as soon as I pressed play on the release, we got a meeting that said, like, yeah, we're going to shut this facility down, right? So I had to revamp and refigure out what I was going to do. But in that time, I was like, you know what? I'm going to finally give One Piece a chance. And have been hooked ever since. Because, like, when it came out in the 90s originally, I hated the way the animation looked.
Yeah, I tried to watch it here and there. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I didn't give it a shot, because I'm like, this shit looks stupid. Like, I watched Dragon Ball, bro. Like,
yeah.
I'm not about to watch this goofy-ass rubber movie. Like, I'm cool. Like, no.
Yeah.
And then when somebody told me, like, it's more about the story because of how Oda wrote, you know what I'm saying, the manga, I was like, all right, let me give it a shot. And then I can't imagine not watching One Piece now.
Yeah, because I'm trying to catch up now in the quarantine, and I think I haven't watched it in a couple, like 2 or 3 weeks because we got really busy at work. I was from home. So where I left off was the Sky Island arc.
Okay. Ooh.
So that's where I am now.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
This shit is fire.
But wait until we get a little bit further.
I see a meme on Instagram. I'm like, nope, you ain't spoiling this shit for me.
When you get to where I'm at, like, cause I'm on episode like 950.
God damn.
So, like, it's a grind, but you don't even notice you're doing it because the episodes one are so short, and the way that they tell the story, you'll be like, all right, next one. Before you know it, it's like 4 hours have passed, and you'd have made it like 60 episodes in and shit. Yeah. Like,
well, I'm gonna tell you a secret. I found a website where these motherfuckers tell you which ones are the filler episodes, and I just skip them bastards.
Okay. there are definitely some straight filler, like, almost arcs to a degree sometimes.
Yeah, they had fucking 30 episodes that was a filler. I was like, thank you, bro.
Yeah, because some of that shit had tied into the movies they was releasing.
Okay.
And shit like that, too. So, like, and One Piece got, like, I think, the most anime movies out of an anime series at this point. It's like, fuck. The new Stampede movie was dope, though. So, like, yeah, when you get up to, like, the Lando Wano arc, you're going to love One Piece in a way that you didn't even think was possible. I promise.
You see what's so crazy? I feel like I'm on the outskirts because they always drop these fire ass figurines. And I'm like, but he's beautiful. I want this feature.
See?
I gotta step it up on my lunch break. Because I still take a lunch break, nigga. I'm at home, but I take a lunch break.
Right. One Piece is fire though. So, like, yeah, I'm still watching that. I finished Promised Neverland, which I felt was, like, one of the best anime I watched in a while.
Oh my God, I was twisted. And that's what I love about anime. I hate when people, you know, bystanders, oh, this is a cartoon. Like, no, motherfucker, you got to know the history of anime, why it's produced so much in Japan.
Right.
But I'm like, the storytelling is phenomenal. Because I was like, I had to pause a couple of times, like, what the fuck? Like, I was twisted how deep and, like, gruesome that story is.
Yeah, and anime is not for children.
No, that's what my baby she be trying to watch. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, we gotta get your baby wrong or some shit.
Yeah, like some of this is just not for kids. Like, so you can't call it a cartoon. Of course, I watched Black Clover was one of my sleeper favorites.
I can't get into it.
It was one of my sleeper favorites.
After he screamed too fucking much.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
And I'm a parent. I can't deal with all that hollering and screaming. What the fuck can I? You need to be fed or you hurt? Why are you speaking?
Yeah, but it's like, because Asta don't got no fucking magic, but still strives to be the best, it's like, damn, bro, you are me at some point. Like, I gotta, like, you know, I'll just turn the volume down when you get to talking. I'm gonna keep watching. I'm gonna keep watching. I'm just gonna turn him down a little bit. So that shit was fire. Fire Force was really good. I really enjoyed that. I think season 2 is like on Crunchyroll now.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to go dive back into that. Mob Psycho 100 is one of my favorites. By the time season 2 ended, I was like, yo. One Punch Man season 2 was a big disappointment and letdown. So I'm mad I wasted my life on that. I'm for real, man. Like, how you give me this fire ass season 1 and then completely switch up squad? Like, the animation team, everybody just different when it came to season 2. I was like, yeah, this shit sucks. Yeah. Like, that was disappointing as shit. And then, of course, I went back to some of the classics since we had time. I watched Yu Yu Hakusho completely for like the fifth or sixth time. Rurouni Kenshin. Gundam Wing, Case Closed is one of my favorite animes of all time.
I have never watched that, and I have it saved, but you know, I don't know if there even is a platform where I can watch the first 600 episodes.
Yeah.
Because it just skips, like on all the platforms I have, they just skip to like...
I'm a textual link that should have it, and you should be able to watch it without problems.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I'm gonna send you a joint because that month has been saving me. I even went back to watch this old shit called City Hunter.
No, never heard of him.
Yeah, so this is one of them early to mid 80s anime joints where the main character's name is Ryo. He's a detective or a gun sleuth or whatever the fuck they want to call him. Uh-huh. City Hunter. He protects but he got the Roshi pervert trope. That's the only that's the only like downfall to him. But like when he's serious, he's the guy. He's like and the soundtrack that would remind you more like Cowboy Bebop with like heavy jazz, and it's real sexy at most times. Cause
is it kind of like Wicked City? You remember the Wicked City?
You could put it in mind. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
So yeah, but like the reason why I got into that is because he was a character on Jump Force.
Okay.
So I was playing Jump Force, and I'm like, who's this dude Ryo? Because like technically he's like OP with the gun skills, like. I could stay on one side of the board on the game and shoot you from across the room and kill you, and you never even got close. I was like, why is he so dope? Like, this shit is ridiculous.
He got all the range,
Yeah, I was like, why is he so dope? Let me go watch his anime. So I went to go find it. I was like, oh, yeah, he really nice, though. That dude nice. And then I ended up watching Saint Seiya, Knights of the Zodiac.
Yeah, I started back watching that a couple of months ago. Yeah, the originals, like, starting with the old
Yeah, because like Netflix got like two or three newer renditions of it.
That
I haven't
trash.
Looked at them yet. Yeah, I haven't looked at them yet. But they got the original on there and shit. And I was like, all right, let me look at the original. I was like, oh, this is fire. I would have loved this when I was growing up.
Crunchyroll got all this shit.
Facts.
Yeah.
Facts.
But another one, everybody, I don't know if everybody's sleeping on it, but I haven't heard a lot about it, is Retro Crush. It's got all the old shit. And, you know, I shouldn't be calling them out, you know, shouting them out, because they said they was gonna do a campaign with me, and they didn't. But they shit is fire, yes. But they shit is fire, you know. If y'all listening, don't discount me. Yeah, man, that's what I love, because I feel like a lot of people don't, you know, they limit it to the new shit that comes out. I'm like, it's so much untapped shit you could be, you know, watching, and you'd be like, what the fuck have I been sleeping on?
The 80s was lit. Like, I prefer 80s anime over any modern anime to this day. Like, I'll probably watch Akira again today.
Yeah.
Like, I will probably, like...
Yeah, if one motherfucker I see in a post or something say something about Devil Man Crybaby, I'm gonna punch a wall. Like, watch the original. Because that Netflix shit was garbage.
And it was just like... It was all over the place. It was definitely a why. And then it was like, we can just throw fucking in here and just like, you know.
And it's gritty.
Edgy. Let's gritty now. Like, don't get the fuck out of here with this.
Yes. Why don't they just buy the rights and just play the original? That shit was so fire.
Yeah, it was. Oh, man.
And my ass didn't know forever until maybe January that they did a devil lady. They
really?
You know, yeah, it's a woman that's Devil Man, basically. So that shit is on Amazon Prime. Okay. And it may be on Retro Crush, too.
Okay.
Yeah, man. You my brother, my nigga. You my brother. We be watching this shit. I say, we know we got an age gap, but you be watching this shit.
I got an old soul, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even when it comes to the album, like, every song on the album is sampled from one of my favorite anime, but the range is from 80s anime to current anime. So we dipped and dabbled, and we was able to put together, because the music and anime is so amazing that, like, how can you not tap into it to create some hip-hop shit? Like,
Clark Huggins, fantasy illustrator and creator of Reckless Deck, the idea-generating card deck series. Reckless Deck is your ultimate box of ideas. It gives artists, writers, and role-playing gamers, from newbies to pros, the tools they need to crush creative blocks and level up their creativity. Reckless Deck takes ideas from all across sci-fi and fantasy and mashes them together. Every combination gives you unexpected, fresh, character-creating possibilities. It breaks all the rules of what's supposed to go with what and gives you everything you need to start creating your own awesome original characters immediately. Each deck is 72 different cards in 5 categories. 2 volumes of core decks get you started, and then 10 different expansion packs let you customize your collection to make more of whatever fuels your creative fire the most. Reckless Deck launched its first mega successful Kickstarter 3 years ago, and it's coming back to Kickstarter this September with Reckless Deck Psych, an all-new card deck system for taking a deep dive inside your character's mind. Head to recklessdeck.com to check out their full line of decks and expansions available now, and enjoy 20% off as a Gadgets and Geekery fan with 20% off promo code RDGeekery20. That's RDGeekery20.
Me and my best friend, when he used to live with me or whatever, I showed him Akira for the first time. He had never seen it. And it blew his mind. And then it was a scene in the movie with Tetsuo hallucinating and shit. And I was like, yo, we got to sample this joint. And he like, is it on YouTube? I was like, of course it's on YouTube. So we find a YouTube link. He downloaded it, chopped it up, put it in the Fruity Loops, got the, you know what I'm saying, making a beat out of it. And that's how we kind of started the album.
Wow. But so let's talk about that. Let's talk about your my dyslexic ass. And that's not a joke. I really am dyslexic.
Really?
Dysography. Yes. That go hand in hand with artists, because I've been an artist all my life. I've been drawing since I was 5. So yeah, I'm dyslexic, but I'm doing the motherfucking thing. See? Boy, you my brother from another mother.
Look at that.
So we're going to get into the discography. Bam, got it. You've been on a couple of various artists' EPs, so I'm going to run down the list for people that don't know. You've been on Hotheads, and that song was by Jeff the Activist, correct?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. It was an album called Experimental Rap Tunes and Self-Mastery by 620 AM.
Yeah, 623 AM, man. That's one of the homies, right?
What is the Cleavengers?
I've been struggling with that fucking title forever. I asked him, I was like, bro, you couldn't just you know, call it the Cleveland Avengers. You couldn't just do that. You had to mush them together.
Then you did an album, what is it, Give All Yourself by Corey Michaels. You did a song called Over and Over.
Yeah, I did that. That album just dropped earlier this year. Yeah.
Okay. Man, you in the damn thing. Okay, so have you collaborated with any other, you know, quote unquote nerdcore lyricists other than those?
Actually, because those guys aren't nerdcore.
They not?
Yeah, no, not at all. Like Corey Michaels is a singer. He's a Cleveland singer, but he's actually a pop singer for he's a part of the LGBT community.
Okay.
A really good friend of mine, you know what I'm saying? We put this music together after meeting not too long ago. And that's how that goes. But he's real big advocate for his community and stuff like that. And I love being a part of people being themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that collab just made sense because of me being so, you know what I'm saying, unapologetically blurred.
Yeah.
That, you know, him being unapologetically gay was a no-brainer. 623 AM, he's just a hip-hop artist in general. He don't really even dabble in nerdcore whatsoever. Like, I bring that aspect to other people's shit when I work with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really everybody's gateway when they work with me. Like, that's been my job.
You could be Crazy 8 the Great, a.k.a. the gateway drug.
Yeah. There we go. I'm everybody's gateway anime right now. And then with working with Jeff Sledge, Jeff is just, he's an activist. He avidly cleans up trash in neighborhoods that are, you know what I'm saying, whatever. And he had been a fan of the music for a while. So he sent me, because we actually got a couple of songs together. We got one that's called, what the fuck is the name of that song? It was a while ago. So outside of the Hi-Hats track, we got another one called like Powerful, something like that.
Okay.
But it's pretty much, it was an activism song. Me being an anti-bully activist, him being an activist for the environment and things like that. So that's been cool. So really, on the nerdcore side, I really haven't worked with anybody.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, let me tell you, when you and I linked up, first thing I did was go into Instagram and type in hashtag. Well, first of all, I did a research. I was like, nerd rap. And then something popped up and said, I was like, what is nerd rap? So then nerdcore popped up. So I went to Instagram, hashtag nerdcore, just a minefield of motherfuckers. Just bam, bam, bam. I said, I've hit the jackpot, motherfuckers. Yes. So you need to find some more like-minded folks.
Actually, I'm working on it. Shout out to, Josh over at Nerds and Hip Hop.
Yeah.
Johnny D over at the Blurry View. Actually, Johnny D got vocals on the new album.
What?
Yeah.
This nigga's got to.
I got D-Town over at Hip Hop and Anime Vibes. He has vocals on that same song. So I guess in that regards, I worked with them, but I really wanted to reach out to a couple of people that was in the hip hop nerd community in that regards. Cause Johnny always be like, yeah, man, I'm gonna get on the track, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. So like laughing and joking with Johnny, I was like, I'm gonna actually put you on something, bro. So. Vocals.
Oh, so I heard your ass is trying to be low-key melodious. That's cool as fuck. See how we all just mesh and collide and we like spread out. I'm in Texas, you in Ohio, in fucking Alaska. Like that's, I love fucking technology. But
exactly.
Music tip, who would you want to collaborate with, whether they're famous or up and coming?
Right now, I am working on some music with a guy by the name of Hieroglyphics.
Okay.
Hiero is super dope. He's doing like tribute raps, but he'll pick a black, like famous celebrity or actor, mm-hmm. and he'll if you check his page out, like he'll put a picture up of him, and then mm-hmm. the next time you'll just see him rapping about the person, about their accolades, what they do, what they're good at. It's really, really dope.
Okay.
And I found him. Actually, I heard his name a couple of times or whatever, and then was like, all right, let me reach out. So I reached out. We became actually good friends through Nerds and Hip Hop.
Okay.
So we're actually working on something like that. I'm going to have him a part of the deluxe version of the album that'll come out later. There's a guy by the name of Mega Ran. And Mega Ran is one of the biggest nerdcore artists just out, period.
Okay.
Also, another blur, you know what I'm saying? He used to be a teacher. He a teacher turned rapper that actually found a way to make it, you know, make a living off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanna do a project with King Vader.
That'd be cool. I can see you with your Vegeta chest plate on and shit.
I wanna find a way to do some shit with King Vader though, because like I just love what he does for nerd culture.
Yeah.
And for people that look like us, like, I really fuck with King Vader for that.
That's cool as hell. Well, we've been talking about your past accolades. I want to talk about your upcoming project. So you got a new album dropping August 8th, correct? That's the animated EP.
Yes. Yeah.
So tell us about that project.
So the animated EP is me answering a question of what would my life look and sound like if it were an anime? So
all the time.
that's a question we ask, right? So I answered that question by giving you a story from beginning to end, like every song coincides with the next. I actually got a Japanese narrator for the album.
What?
Yeah. So
you went there.
Yeah, so basically when you listen to it in your headphones, he'll be narrating in your left, I'll be translating in your right. So you'll always know what he's saying. And it's sprinkled throughout the album in places that are appropriate and necessary to kind of further the story along. So it starts off in a really dark place. Because everything I've ever written comes from that dark place of being bullied and shit like that. That's the fuel to my fire. And then we go on this journey of different emotions and this roller coaster about like not wanting to let people down. And nightmare sequences get triggered where like I put my mother on a song, like my mother's on a song actually. Having her in the studio was amazing.
Yeah.
To fighting my bully, finally, you know, getting the courage to beat and fight my bully, to feeling like the big man on campus, to talking to the chick you've been having a crush on for 10 years to Ultra Instinct being on there to where we end the album on the song called Take My Hand, which that one features Johnny and Johnny on a couple of the little vocals, which is really like a chant. Like, this song is so fucking powerful to me that I feel like when people hear it, it's going to change the landscape or some shit. Yeah. Like, for that song in particular, we sampled My Hero Academia. Mm-hmm. So the whole song is me giving the listener One For All.
Okay.
Basically. Like, by the time you did the song ends, I would have passed my power on to you. So as long as you believe in yourself, you can inherit my power. That's actually quoted from the song. So like, I really feel like this collection of songs, you're going to be able to dance to, you're going to be able to get pumped to, you're going to be able to want to whoop some ass to, you're going to be inspired, you might shed a tear, it might make you reflect. There's going to be a lot of things that's happening in this album, and I'm so proud. 2 years of hard work.
Yeah, man, and because that's the same way that anime makes me feel. All those emotions that you just talked about, because I hate to go back to God of High School, but that bitch that do the fucking wrestling, see, I'm country wrestling. I was like, bitch, where have you been all my life?
She was dope, though. Like,
so dope, though. See, I'm not trying to sidebar. Goddamn. Right. But you said that, I was like, huh. See, you just spoke to my soul. I can't wait till the album comes out.
Yeah, man. I'm super excited to see what you guys think about it, because I really made this from the perspective of us. Mm-hmm. Like, although it's super personal at certain times or whatever, I still feel like any one of us could be like, yeah, that was me, or this was for me, or this message was speaking to me specifically. Like, that's how I wanted it to go. And like, I could have took this shit way left on some nerd shit, mm-hmm. but what I wanted to do was just make good music first. Mm-hmm. That was my goal, make good music first. And whatever happens after that, happens after that. But as long as the music is of quality, it's making you evoke emotion, it's supposed to, you know what I'm saying, do what real good music is supposed to do. That was the mission. So I can't wait to see if I hit my mark with the different listeners, you know what I'm saying, of our community and stuff like that. And shit, even people that never watched the fucking anime, like, they should be able to rock with it too. I feel like I'm, because growing up, I didn't have anybody doing what I'm doing. So hopefully this is the blueprint for anybody after me that's like, okay, so it can be done. You can do it. Like, you can reach out to me, talk to me. I will help you. I had no mentors. I want to be a mentor for those people. So yeah, like, this, I feel like this album is important for the culture.
Yeah, it's because basically what you said, that's what good music will do, connect you. Because we're more alike than dislike. If that's a word, my ass is making up shit. But
it's
because we are more connected than we ever know. Because like you said, when you do the truest form of art, which is telling your story, somebody will say, oh shit, that happened to me, that speaks to me, okay, I want to roll with this brother. Like, when you talked about being dyslexic, we would have never known it till it was said. Now I feel an even closer kinship with your ass, because that's a fucking struggle growing up, and I had to, you know, put mechanisms in place to combat that shit. My mother had to get me tested and put in school, so you know, so I love that shit. So keep that shit up. Just stay true to you. You've been doing that shit. It's been working.
Oh, yeah.
Through the booze and whatever, laughs.
It has. I actually, I'll be looking more forward to the negative connotations of shit more so, because it's like, all right, I hear how good I am all the time. I can't wait to prove somebody wrong when they think I'm bad.
Like, and then I'll be in the DMs like, you a motherfucking lie.
So I'll be waiting on it though, because it's like, oh, you just don't know. You just don't know. Wait till you press play. Watch this.
Yes,
like, you gotta have a hateful spirit to like not fuck with my shit. Like, my shit will get at you. Even if you had a hateful spirit, I feel like by the time you finish my album, you're gonna be feeling shit you ain't never felt before. You're gonna be trying to hug motherfuckers you ain't never hugged before. Like, you know what? I just heard some shit. Like, I wanted to hate it, but I can't. Like, that's how I feel like the album is.
Yeah, I'm gonna be all right listening to this shit. But it comes out August 8th.
Yeah.
Where can people find it, stream it, buy it? Where can they do all that?
So it'll be on every major streaming platform. I'll even find a way to have it uploaded on SoundCloud for people that don't have the major streaming platforms. Okay. Because SoundCloud was my first home, so I can't neglect them. And then as of right now, you could actually click the link in my bio and you can pre-order the album. it's available for iTunes, and there's a pre-save Spotify link as of now. And when you order, you get a free unreleased track. And all you have to do is just I'm also going to give away three people.
Oh, hold on. I think we're breaking up a little bit. Hold on 1 second. It has some feedback. Let me hear you.
Can you hear me?
It's a little broken up. You got a cell phone nearby?
Yeah,
you sound like a robot.
Yeah, that's both ways. You definitely sound like a robot.
Let me see here. Stand with us, listeners. We're going to get, you know, technology don't never want our asses to be great. All right, hit me up.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, there we go.
We're back in business.
I don't know what the fuck was going on.
So back to what you were saying.
Yeah. So anybody that pre-orders get a free song instantly. And I'm also doing a giveaway the day before the album drops. So three lucky people out of everybody that pre-orders will either get a t-shirt, a poster, or one lucky person is getting a cash gift right back.
Oh.
So when you pre-order, that instantly like enters you into the raffle, and I'll literally be on Instagram Live on August 7th pulling names out of the hats for these gifts. So everybody should tune in. If you pre-order, look for your name, and we're gonna do that probably around like 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay.
And we're gonna make it happen. Like it's gonna be super dope. It's gonna be super dope. I really want to give back to everybody that gave a fuck enough to, you know, like I said, pre-order, care that I'm putting out a project at all anyway. Because none of y'all owe me shit.
No, man. But see, like I said, when you're genuine, it just come.
Right. You know? Yeah. Man? So.
When you get all that shit, all the promotions and stuff ready, send that to me. And then I'll just post that shit. And, you know, I'm a little secret. It ain't a secret shit. It's on the podcast. When you reached out to me, you know, we did a paid promotion. And then after your shit went fire, I was like, I feel bad. I should have did this shit for this brother for free. Cause this is amazing. Cause you know, before I hadn't heard of your music, so I was like, I don't know if this shit gonna be good. Just toss me a little 25, and then I post this shit, and then I listened to it. I was like, this is fucking fire. And then motherfuckers started liking it, and your likes start going up. I was like, I should have did this for free. This motherfucker's amazing.
I appreciate it, yeah. Cause like we got the merch video up now. So where it's showing all the product bundles you can get, the physical album, the t-shirt, the hoodie, the posters, what you can do together. So all that's like in circulation right now. I can send you that video instantly.
Okay.
And anybody that pre-orders any one of those bundles now still get the free unreleased track. So as long as you buy it before release date, you get this free song, which... I feel like people will really love when they get to hear it. It'll get them primed for what they're getting ready to hear for the album. So, yeah, I'm super excited, man.
Yeah, spread the word, motherfuckers. Because y'all can say, do this motherfucker win.
Right.
You know, when you get up in them penthouses, don't act like you know about it, brother.
Exactly.
But we talked about you. We talked about your music. We talked about your geekdom, your fandom. Now I just want to be a little silly. So I do this thing called this or that, okay?
Okay.
So you could just, you know, spout off what you think, or you can give a reason why you feel that way, because sometimes I try to challenge folks. Like, that's bullshit. Okay, so Netflix or Hulu?
Netflix.
Okay. I'm really disappointed with their fucking content a lot of times. Okay.
Hulu. Hulu been a hit or miss for me, like, sometimes. Like, when they hit the mark, they hit that motherfucker. But when they don't, I'll be like,
I
still pay for it. Fuck it.
It is the whole expensive side, because, you know, that's like a fucking cable bill.
Man.
But I still roll with them. Console gaming or PC gaming?
I'm a console gamer.
Bam. While driving or on the train, do you prefer music or podcasts?
Driving, music.
Okay. Big party or small gathering?
Small gathering.
Damn, I'm getting too old for this shit. Them big parties. Don't come to my house. Don't fuck with my shit. Don't break my shit. I don't want anybody knowing my area code. Like, no. You bring my property back. Let me see. Camping or binge watching shows at home?
Binge watching shows at the crib.
Niggas unite. Yeah. Right. I don't do no bugs. Amusement parks. Amusement parks or a day at the nude beach?
I'm still have to go with amusement park.
I just want to see some naked folks just one time in my life. Like, y'all out here really doing this shit?
I feel like I see enough naked folks, honestly.
Oh, telling me my actual personal life. Okay. I just want to go somewhere where my stretch marks can be free with the universe.
There we go.
Okay. Phone call or text message?
Text message.
Yeah, because some of that shit really can just be a text message.
But I'm really always busy as fuck. Like, yeah. I be doing shit. It's like, if I got to talk to you, I have to literally stop what I'm doing to talk exactly. to you. I ain't got that kind of time right now.
Exactly. Let me see. Online shopping or shopping in a store?
That's tough. I think I still like going to the store. It's something about being able to see it in your hand and try it on or whatever the case may be. Like, you ever just like get something that you ordered online, that shit don't fit or some shit, you got to put it back in a package, send it back off so you can get, I ain't got time to be waiting on that. That shit don't fit. I'll pick another one off the rack and then we go to the register. That's it. I'm cool.
Exactly. We done all had a wish incident. Online wish. Man.
Y'all stop fucking wish. And wish don't sue me. Yeah. Man, they ain't even tell me, man. I went and bought this cold ass hoodie that was for a toddler.
About to say.
I'm a big guy, like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking I'm about to look out here now. Nah, I couldn't even get my pinky in that moment.
Not today. When you lose that weight, you can wear it and shrink.
I can lose weight, shave pounds off, and some other shit, take and still be able to fit that moment.
Remove some ribs. Exactly. Let me see. Facebook or Instagram?
IG.
Yeah, all day. Because Facebook kind of antiquated right now. It's really like a news platform at this point. Comic book or comic book movie?
Comic book movie.
Ah.
And that's only because I don't have time to read like I used to. That's the only thing. Like, of course, you get way better deep cuts, more character development, more everything in the comics. So, of course, I'm partial to that first. But if we're talking about my life currently, I go see the comic book movie and be all right with that for now and then hear about all the cool shit that they should have did online later.
Yeah. All the plots they left out and all this
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, right.
Let me see. Would you prefer a rich friend or a loyal friend?
A loyal one.
You know what? I love the people I have on my show because I haven't had one motherfucker say rich friend. Because they can be fucking shady. Let me see. Would you choose a horror, American horror movie or a Japanese horror movie?
Wow. Japanese horror don't cut no corners, man. They just cut motherfuckers up. All right, I'll take Japanese horror.
I will too. Damn, have you ever seen Ichi the Killer?
Yes.
That was my first introduction to Japanese horror. I was like,
wow.
Censorships? Like, yeah, they don't censor shit. Everything gets in the movie. Okay, all right. You don't care about people's mental being. Okay.
Yeah, no. You get scarred a little bit after every Japanese horror movie.
Just like the Japanese anime, it's the same way. And it's like, no, you're going to need therapy today, sir. Okay, so my final question. Where can our listeners connect and find you?
You can find me on everything. Crazy 8 the Great is the moniker for Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, everything. So that's CRAZY, the number 8, THE, great. It's only one of me. You can't get another. So once you saw that and you see the smiley face, you know it's me. That's me across the board. I ain't want to have all these different names and shit. Like, nah. If you Google Crazy 8 the Great, everything pops up in a line.
Yes, sir. Oh, man. I had a good time talking to you today.
Me too.
I'm proud of everything you're doing. I'm glad I could, you know, see you coming up like you're a young buck. See you coming up right. And being a part of it the little way that I can be. Because
I appreciate you, Q, man. Like this, this is everything to me. Like I really cherish and appreciate everybody I've met along the way in our community that's embraced me like you guys have, because it was tough at first. It was really tough. So like having a cosign from somebody as awesome as you and seeing that translate over to other people who know you and know, you know what I'm saying, and trust your opinions that now listen to me and stuff like that, shit is, I can't even describe that feeling.
Yeah, man, because, you know, I don't have a lot of money and I got this little platform. So I try to do what I can for, like you said, for, you know, POC, the LGBTQ community,
right,
whatever I can, because they have their eyes on their page, you know, the reach. And I have a little bit more. So whoever knew I can bring over to you, I am more than willing to do that because I want everybody to be great. Yeah.
Yeah, and the Discord is lit. So, you know. Hey, shout out to the Discord family.
All day. Oh, man. All right. Well, I had a great time. Hope you had a great time.
Of course.
I want you on as many times as you have time to be on the show. Talk about any new project you got coming.
Let's do a follow-up after the album drops.
Yes.
Like, I want to get all your opinions on everything that transpires in the album. So let's do a part two.
All right. Well, this is the thing, though. You know, you are my ending episode of season one, sir.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to wait till season two to pop that off.
It's cool. I think it'd be worth the conversation.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, you take it easy. You be safe out in these Corona streets and enjoy your success coming August 8th, sir.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
All right, y'all. That was the show. I hope you learned something, like always. And I hope you were thoroughly entertained. This brother is a wordsmith when it comes to incorporating hip hop and anime. So please go over to his Spotify and check out his singles, his collaborations that he's been on other LPs, and show this brother some love for his new album that dropped today. So, like I always say, I gotta run my spiel so I can pay some bills. If you want to support the show, please do so through Anchor. You can drop a tip there, or you can go to the Cash App. Our Cash App is $GadgetsAndGeekery. And show me a little love over there so I can keep things going. We also have merch over on GadgetsAndGeekery.com. If you have a question or you want to just tell us that you love us, you can call us on the hotline at 972-664-4887. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, Gadgets and Geekery. We also have a Discord page for 21 and up. You can DM me on Instagram to get that link. Don't contact me if your ass is 18. I said 21 plus. Don't have your mama calling me and trying to jack me up in the DMs. Not trying to have that. And if you are a rapper or singer or DJ, music producer, please contact me for our Nerdcore Spotlight. All right, y'all. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I know I did. And like I always say, like a prom dress, bitch, I'm off.